After Monarchia. 963.M30. The Fidelitas Lex over Kerr. Before he even set foot inside the chamber of his Primarch, Corpharon could smell the stench of sweat, burned flesh, and pungent blood through the swirl of spicy incense. The crack of a flail startled the Keeper of Faith, and he stepped swiftly inside. Lorgar sat cross-legged upon the bare floor, a seven-tailed scourge in one hand. His other lay in his lap, as though in quiet repose. With serpent-quick vehemence, the Primarch lashed the scourge across his shoulder and back, laying the knotted tails upon his flesh with a drawn-out slap. The blow would have crippled lesser beings, but the Primarch's only reaction was a twitch of the lip. Through a layered daub of grey ash, his skin was in tatters, a remarkably disturbing achievement given his emperor-gifted physiology, testament to the viciousness and persistence of Lorgar's self-flagellation for the last 3 days. At his side was a gold-rimmed bowl of white clay, a font from one of the many chapels of the Fidelitas Lex. Within the metre-broad dish were ashes and charred remnants. Lorgar noticed the perplexed look of the Keeper of Faith.
"All that is left of proud Monarchia,"
the Primarch said quietly, his expression haunted. He dipped his hand into the ashen mess and let pieces fall through his fingers.
"Buildings, people, a lifetime of endeavour. My foolish pride."
"None should be prouder,"
declared Corpharon. The door whispered shut behind him. He spied a brazier in the adjoining room, its coals now embers, the heat of it glimmering on the wall where a tapestry of the Emperor had once hung, now torn down to reveal bare wall. In the brazier he saw several irons, their heads shaped as the various runes of Colchis, sigils Lorgar himself had created to represent the new faith he had ushered in, signs of the One, of the Truth and the Word. He saw burn marks upon the flesh of Lorgar, branding fit for a sternback that would have overcome a mortal with pain.
"How?"
"A servitor of the Mechanicum makes a useful unthinking factotum on occasion. Devoid of conscience, they will happily perform any instruction for days on end. No remorse, no hesitation. An instrument of succour in these dark times."
It was a delicate moment, and Corpharon judged that Lorgar did not need instruction as much as guidance to be returned to the path he sought. He affected his most fatherly demeanour.
"You asked for me? You wish to talk, my son?"
"And Erebus, though I have allowed us a brief time to converse before he arrives. There is a matter that we must discuss, and it is not for his ears. Not yet, I would say."
"This scourging, it is because of Monarchia," said Corpharon. "The crime is not yours."
"It was and remains so. There is not an accusation levelled against us that we can defend. What we sought to create in purity was a distortion of the truth. The Emperor cares not for these worlds, save as numbers in a ledger on Terra. We thought we crafted jewels for the Imperial Crown, but all we have been doing is wasting our time polishing worthless lumps of earth."
"Not worthless, for our faith is our meaning. Whether the Emperor requires it or not..."
"He does not, and we will comply."
The word brought a twist of disgust to the Primarch's lips. Compliance.
A word that sounds so innocent, yet we now know to be so loaded with meaning.
"We cannot abandon who we are, Urizen."
Corpharon struggled to think how he might lift Lorgar from his malaise. The blow to his beliefs, to his core of being, to his soul, though the Emperor denied such a thing existed, had been catastrophic. As one father had turned the Golden One's works to naught, the other would have to raise him from the ruins of their destruction.
"There is another way,"
the Keeper of Faith suggested.
"You saw what happened to Monarchia. My father's judgment is absolute. We must dissolve all accoutrement of our beliefs, become the exterminators he built us to be."
"Well, this could break our legion apart," warned Corpharon. "Faith holds us together. For many it is what binds them to you, to the Imperium. They follow the prophet of a god, not a warlord of an emperor.
It is not the first time my authority has been tested.
It is not.
And before there was a brotherhood of like-minded souls prepared to defend the truth.
There was.
Corferon knew well to which organization Lorgar referred, if it could even be called an organization.
A movement of dedicated followers willing to protect the faith at all costs.
Was Lorgar really asking Corferon to do it again? The Primarch would never say as much, perhaps could never bring himself to do so. He knew little enough of the dark heart and the brotherhood that had defended the truth on Colchis. Corferon had to be sure. A misstep now, when the Legion's morale and his Primarch's conviction were so broken, would prove fatal for the Word-Bearer and his position.
What point in being the Keeper of Faith when there is no faith to keep?
He asked quietly. You are my first captain still, Lorgar assured him. Your rank, our history, cannot be so easily undone. Our bond is stronger, even than the foundations of a city.
You wish to expunge all evidence of our faith from the Legion?
None must espouse the Emperor as a god. And there it was.
The deceleration that Corferon needed. Strange and circuitous were the ways of the powers sometimes, yet one could see the slow flowing of their course from the correct perspective. How apt that the powers had clad themselves in the guise of the Emperor himself to shield Colchis from his ire. Through Lorgar they had found the means to hide from the gaze of their would-be destroyer, concealing a blade aimed at the heart of the Imperium, dedicated to their overthrow. The Emperor's disregard for Lorgar, his contempt for the great work done in his name, provided opportunity. Corferon met his adopted son's gaze, holding that violet stare for just a moment, seeking connection. Moisture glistened there. Lorgar knew full well what he was asking. Did he know truly where the course inevitably would lead? It was Corferon's role to guide him to that conclusion.
There will be bloodshed,
said the first captain, meaning both from Lorgar's request and the demand of the Emperor. The powers demand sacrifice, he reminded himself. To each they give position, from each a price to pay. Lorgar's debt would be levied in sorrow. The law and the law.
A new war, like nothing before.
I am no stranger to such an undertaking.
The chime of the door warden system alerted them to a new arrival. At Lorgar's command, the door hissed open to reveal Erebus, clad in the black robe of a chaplain. The Word-Bearer stopped suddenly at the threshold as he caught sight of his Primarch's appearance, a mixture of horror and sorrow etching his weathered features.
Come in. I would speak with you.
Lorgar bid him before returning to his conversation.
Do you remember Corferon? We called it the Last War. How history makes a vanity of such things.
I remember it,
the Keeper of Faith murmured.